The title of my sermonette today is Love for God. Recently, I was going into an elevator, and there was a couple with a young child, a boy, standing beside him. And I looked at the boy, and I says, is this your dad? And he nodded. He says, yeah. I says, can you prove it? And he gave me this strange look. His dad smiled. But it's not a question that a child gets asked very often to prove that the person beside him is their dad. Well, a lot of people make claims, brethren, about their love for God and how they're close to God. But the question is, can they prove it? And recently I got an email from an acquaintance, and he attended Ambassador College, and he told me in his email that he's glad he got away from the theology of the Worldwide Church of God, and he's quite happy to keep Sunday and the world's holidays, and he's comfortable in that, and he feels close to God. Well, I felt compelled to reply to his email, not to put him down, but to try to bring some truth to the matter, you might say. So I wrote him, and I just want to share that with you, what I wrote to him. I said, I felt compelled to respond to your statement you made about never going back to worldwide theology. So that's what he had stated in his email. He would never go back to worldwide theology. I said, there was nothing wrong with the theology under Mr. Armstrong, and it was biblically based, which it was. Unfortunately, you have rejected the clear teachings of Christ in regards to the Sabbath and the holy days. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Plus, Christ said he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Rightfully so, as the God of the Old Testament, he instituted it as part of creation week, and it was created on the seventh day. The Sabbath points to God, the God of the Bible, and creation. The holy days point to the true God and the outline of his plan for mankind. Sunday points to the God of the world, which is Satan the devil. And so do the Satan-inspired holidays of this world, like Easter, Sunday worship, Christmas, etc. And direct one to worship Satan. That's the direction that these lead to. God is not in any of these worldly days, but he is in the Sabbath and the holy days, commanded by him. So do you worship Satan or the true God? Saying you have a relationship with Christ is impossible when you turn your back on him and worship the adversary. God does not hear sinners, and if you're not obeying the commandments, the way you demonstrate love for God, you demonstrate love for Satan. So which path do you want to take? The path of keeping the Sabbath and the holy days, which lead to eternal life in the kingdom of God, or the path of the worldly holidays, which lead to death, and if not repented of, the lake of fire? God is not going to force anyone to obey him. Failing to do so leads to a bad outcome. I'm telling you this for your own good, not to put you down. How do you explain to Christ when he returns that you choose Satan's ways and days and rejected his ways and days which he commanded? The choice is yours. Hope you make the right one, or the correct one. Now, there's a lot of people in this world that, nominal Christians, that feel they have this closeness with God, and yet they're breaking his commandments, going contrary to, you know, the love of God. Now, you know, they say the proof is in the pudding. The way we demonstrate our love for God is by keeping the first four commandments, which shows us how to love God and how to have a loving relationship with him. There is no other way, and you just can't substitute your own worldly ideas thinking this is going to be pleasing in God's sight. So I'd like to spend a little time now and go over to Exodus, the 20th chapter, and we'll go over this first four commandments, which is the way you show your love to God. There's just no other way. That's the proof. The demonstration of that proof is in keeping the first four commandments. So in Exodus 20, beginning in verse 1, it says, And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. You're not to have any other gods before him. And he took us out of the Egypt of this world, brethren. He took them as a nation out of the physical Egypt, but he took us out of the spiritual Egypt of this world. And by not having other gods before him, it doesn't matter what it is. You're breaking the first commandment, whether it's possessions, you know, wife, job, pride in your accomplishments. If you put that before God, you're breaking that first commandment. And the key is you put God first in your life. Once you learn to do that, you will accomplish keeping this first commandment. Going on in verse 3, it says, verse 3 says, you shall have no other gods before me, which I just went across. And then verse 4 is the second commandment. It says, you shall not make for yourselves any carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or is on the earth or that is in the water or under the water. Verse 5, you shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers to the children, to the third and fourth generations, and of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. So here again, the stress is the way you love God is to keep his commandments. And the first four show us that we do love God. And notice, I mean, this is not bowing down to idols. I mean, how many in the Catholic Church, I mean, they prayed to before statues totally contradicting this commandment. And there are over a billion followers of that religion. And what about Buddhism? I mean, they worship this Buddha, which is an idol. And God says in the Old Testament, you know, they worship these stupid idols that can't talk, can't walk, can't do anything for you. And yet this is what they worship. And in India, over a billion people in India, and a lot of them, you know, they think the cow is sacred, another form of idolatry. So you have a very narrow part of nominal Christians that don't, you know, follow this, worship idols. But the majority, unfortunately, do. And a lot of them don't realize it, of course, but it's all going to be straightened out in the end. But this is another proof that you love God. You just don't worship idols. And in verse 7, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So you don't take God's name in vain. In other words, you don't curse and use God in that manner. And I mean, you can't go on any job site where men are working where they're not using God's name in vain. Or a lot of movies today, it's hard to find a movie where they don't sneak in some insult to God. But it goes beyond that. It goes like, you're not to use euphemisms like, oh my goodness, or gee, or other euphemisms that they use, and they don't realize that's a form of using God's name in vain. So it's something that we have to be aware of, because I've been before people, and especially this phrase, oh my goodness, they don't seem to realize that that's using God's name in vain. And it sounds innocent, it really does, but you're still going against his commandment, which is the third way that you have the proof that you love God or show love to God. Going on here, it says in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. God says, remember the Sabbath day, and the world says, oh, forget the Sabbath. We want to worship Sunday. 6 days you shall do labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. So in modern technology, you know, you don't go cutting the lawn with your lawnmower. That's on the Sabbath, because we got so many things today that, you know, they didn't have in those days. You know, they used most animals to do farming and that. But we have all these gadgets that cut back on work and make work a lot easier today. And going on in verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So he did two things. He blessed it and he hallowed it. He made it holy time. It's his time. You have no right to impose your desires on the Sabbath, on God's day. We should look for his will and do what he commands. Also, I'd like to go to Exodus 31 to bring out the point about Sabbath points to God, which I mentioned in my letter. In Exodus 31, and verse 13, it says, speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. So the Sabbath is a sign. It's like the sign of a true Christian. No other day does that. Not a Friday, nor a Sunday, nor whatever day of the week you want to pick. But the Sabbath is the sign that you are worshiping the God of the Bible, the true God, the one and true God, the Most High God, and of course, his Son, Jesus Christ. And we have that understanding about the God family, which a lot of religions don't, because they believe in the Trinity, or in some just believe in the one God, that Christ doesn't exist, or that God was the God of the Old Testament. All misunderstandings, but that's not the truth. So it's notice here it says, surely my Sabbaths. It's not just the weekly Sabbath we're commanded to keep, brethren, but the annual Sabbaths too. And each day, each one of the annual Sabbaths is a step in God's plan for redemption of man, beginning from repentance to being in the God family. It's all laid out for us in the Bible by God, and it's not that difficult to understand. I mean, most people, it's not that they're lacking understanding, they just don't want to obey. And obedience seems to be a nasty word in religious circles, because they don't want to give up their habits or anything they have. They just want to do their own thing. But if you really want to please God and love God and demonstrate that love for God, you will obey him and keep his commandments, because that's the proof that you do love it. Otherwise, it's just lip service. I mean, it's easy to say, I love God. Oh, I keep Sunday and Halloween and Valentine's Day. Oh, you mean they're not in the Bible? You know, it's so simple. Like Christ said, you know, in frustration, if they only had a heart to serve me, it's just not in their heart in the world to serve God. Of course, we know that they're under the influence of the god of this world, which is Satan, the devil. And in a sense, they've been victimized by him. But the truth is here, and it's available if you just read your Bible. I know, I understand that a calling is from God, and you know, we had this discussion recently with someone. We were talking about being called, and you can't go out and convert anybody. I mean, Mr. Armstrong says you might as well go out in the field and talk to a cow if you think you're going to convert someone. All you can do is speak about the hope that lies in you and respond and answer a question if they have one. And some people fall into this trap. You know, person asks them a question, next thing you know, they're into third, second and third tide and all the other things that they didn't ask about. And that's probably the last time they'd ever ask them a question. But if God is calling someone and they ask a question, you have an obligation to answer that one question, not everything else. And if they ask another one, you answer that other question. So, brethren, you can see that it's very easy for someone to say, like this individual, that he has a close relationship with God, and he's keeping Sunday and the other holidays of this world. Well, he's deceiving himself. And of course, I was concerned for him, and hopefully he'll repent, because, I mean, they were once baptized, and they turned her back on the truth, which is not a good situation to be in. But, you know, God in his mercy, if they haven't lost God's Holy Spirit, can turn this around for them. So let's just remember, brethren, that the way that we demonstrate love for God is by keeping the first four commandments. And they're not complicated. They're pretty straightforward. And if we don't waver from that, we will have the privilege of standing before Christ at his coming and receive our reward. So, brother, let's make sure we're faithful to God by demonstrating our love to him by keeping those first four commandments.